Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. I'm not going to go too much into this in my sermon, but most scholars believe this is the original ending of the Gospel of Mark. They believe that the things that are added to this part of the gospel after verse 8 are added later because the people who read it go, oh, that's not a good ending. And you'll see why. You'll see why. But I'm going to explain in my sermon a little bit of why I think this definitely was the true ending and why we get a sense of the resurrection power here in this story from Mark. Hear now the words. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb? When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place you laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. So they went out and fled the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful Lord, I ask that you bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, that they may be pleasing to you on this Easter morning. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So you don't go to a graveyard looking for signs of life. You go to bury a loved one or to pay respects, or maybe to remember. When I was digging through my grandfather's genealogy out in the western part of Virginia, he and I would take trips and visit some of the graves of his ancestors in far-off remote corners of Highland County, Virginia. I've never seen so many dirt roads. Walking around the cemetery, my grandfather would say, "Oh, there's Uncle Pee-wee." He actually had an Uncle Pee-wee. "There's Aunt Bessie right over there." And he had a story for each one. These graves gave me a deeper appreciation for my own life as the most recent chapter of a much longer story, which made it possible for me to be right here this morning with you on this Easter morning. Those buried, now long gone, Uncle Pee-wee and Aunt Bessie, impacted my life in ways I can never know or fully appreciate. And in many ways, they are a mystery to me. And yet, they brought me life. I am here because of them. Now, on Easter morning, the two Marys and Salome did not go to Jesus' tomb looking for signs of life. On the contrary, they brought with them spices to anoint his dead body, enacting a ritual of respect, of compassion, of gratitude for Jesus' life. They didn't want to forget the story of which they were a part, the story of the Beatitudes and miracles, the story of challenging powers that be and welcoming the outcast and the stranger. Even the terrifying, devastating story of betrayal and violence and the cross. They didn't fully understand what it all meant, but this man, the Son of Man, offered a way of life that changed their hearts. A way that offered a deeper well of truth and grace for their lives, and their grief led them to the tomb that morning to be close to Christ, even if it meant being close to his dead body. But what they found that morning, when they got there, resembled more of a crime scene. The heavy stone covering the tomb had been rolled back. Jesus' body was gone, and some young man dressed in white just hanging out in the empty tomb. What's going on here? So needless to say, Mark tells us the women were alarmed. Of course they were alarmed. Why would they not be alarmed? But they were also struck with amazement. And they remained so for the rest of the story. The young man has a new chapter to share with them about Jesus' story. The one who was crucified now is raised. He is going ahead of you to Galilee. This is no longer a Golgotha story. It has changed to a Galilee story. Death doesn't have the final word. Violence doesn't have the final word. God does. And God's Son is out there waiting for you where he started his ministry in the first place, Galilee. Now, imagine you are the women that morning, and what a shock to the system they would be. Imagine feeling that amazement and shock. Even 25% of what the young man says would be unbelievable, but all of it would be enough to make your head spin. It's confusing. It's nonsensical. It's perplexing. That is to say, it is a great mystery. And yet, here it is before your eyes. Christ was dead. Now he is risen. What would you do? Such a shock disorients you. It makes you lightheaded. And it shouldn't be a surprise that the women ran away in terror and amazement. Or the more literal translation says, they fled terrified and bewildered. I am sure later they experienced joy, but their initial response is one of shaking, awe, and confusion. And when you are confronted with the mystery of God, especially the mystery of the resurrection, we would probably all act accordingly. But there was one word here that I just mentioned that really grabbed me by the collar and wouldn't let me go this week. And I couldn't figure out why. And that word is bewildered. I love that word. bewildered. In the Greek, the word is ecstasis, which literally translates to displacement of the mind. Do y'all hear that? Displacement of the mind, often caused by shock. Okay? It is the same word, the Greek word that we use for ecstasy, right? Which in a religious context is like a moment of transcendence. It's an overwhelming sense of God's presence with you. But the Greek here, displacement of the mind. I love that. That word, that phrase just stuck with me, and I started to realize that that word is the whole Easter story right here. When was the last time you were bewildered by God? Like the two Marys and Salome were that day. When was your mind displaced because God acted in a new and unexpected way? Easter is our annual reminder that God can still bewilder us, can shake us out of our malaise and our predefined worlds of expectations, lifting the dangerous veils of cynicism and greed and show us a new way to live. Our minds need displacing. Our bodies need bewilderment from a world that sells easy answers, mindless entertainment, and violence as the only answer. Displace my mind, O Lord. Displace it now. Say that with me. Displace my mind, O Lord. Displace it now. Bewilder my heart. I want my heart to be bewildered. I want my heart to be bewildered so that I can see God at work. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Allow this morning, Easter morning, to be a reminder that your mind needs to be displaced from the expectations that you have brought in with you about how God works in this world, because God is so much more capable than we ever give God credit for. And the cool thing about bewilderment is that it leads us to joy. It leads us to freedom. The mystery of Christ's resurrection breaks our temptation to have a small God who does our bidding and reveals a living God at work in our hearts and in the world. 2 months ago, Ann and I were home on a Sunday night, and we decided to turn on the television, specifically to see the Grammys, so we could watch Taylor Swift and a lot of the other beloved pop stars we have in the world get a little tipsy on national television. And they announced, as we were turning the television on, that country star Luke Combs was up next to perform his cover version of the beautiful song Fast Car, which was a 1998 hit song from singer-songwriter Tracy Chapman. Now, Tracy had been famously absent from the public eye for many years now. She'd last performed live in 2015, and she'd intentionally chosen a very quiet life away from celebrity. As the show came back on from commercial, the camera was zoomed in on a guitar strumming the opening riffs to the song Fast Car. The figure was in the shadows. You couldn't really tell who was performing the song, but the camera started to slowly pan up to reveal none other than Tracy Chapman herself, playing and singing her song with Luke Combs backing her. When the reveal came, I could not believe my eyes. I started screaming, "Anne, it's Tracy! It's Tracy! Holy cow, it's Tracy! Get in here!" It was a bewildering moment, displacing my mind, my expectations. She wasn't supposed to be on that stage. And once the shock wore off, I basked in the joy of hearing these two great performers sing this beautiful, sad song about being on the cusp of changing your life. On this Easter Sunday, allow yourself a moment of bewilderment. Allow yourself to be overwhelmed by the mystery of the resurrection of Christ, to feel the shock of the words, "He is not here, he is risen." Let yourself be rocked by an empty tomb and an invitation to find the resurrected Christ out in the world waiting for you. Because in that bewilderment, you will find joy. You will find freedom. And you will find a new opportunity to be the person God has called you to be. Let's say it again. Displace my mind, O Lord. Displace it now. Bewilder my heart. So I can see Christ anew. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.